Okay. For those of you here that know Rabbi Israel, he needs no introduction. But Rabbi Israel teaches at Eretz Tzvi. He's a very loved Tanakh teacher, and you teach philosophy too.
Philosophy too.
The Machshava. Educated at Eretz Tzvi, at Hadatzion, and wrote for a couple of the Teva publications, reading Georgia articles, and without further ado,
okay. So first of all, thank you to everybody for coming. I know there are a lot of smachot in the community, and I think it's always a big achievement to get out of the house in the evening and come to shiur. So bruchim to you. I especially chose this topic thinking, first of all, of the fact that we're coming up to Yom Yerushalayim. I know Yerushalayim's also been quite a bit in the news lately, in the political realm, but I'm not going to get into politics. Although I was actually thinking of giving the title. I don't know how everybody's up in the with the news in Israel and everything that's going on there, but I was actually thinking of calling this shiur Holy Land or Holy Land. And I hope it'll be clear what I mean in a few minutes. But I really wanted to try and trace some of the early roots of Yerushalayim, and I hope that what we'll see, as you can see from the title, is that Yerushalayim actually has a very interesting and intertwined history with the city of Sodom, which you might find surprising. What's the Yerushalayim and Sodom got to do with each other? You know, even physically, Yerushalayim is the one of the highest places in Israel, right? It's right at the top of the hill. That's what they call Kav Parashat Hamayim. You know, you come up from the coastal plain, you come up to the peak, and then suddenly, Yerushalayim's at the highest point of the cross section of Israel. And Sodom, the lowest place on earth, even physically, the lowest place on earth. One's high, one's low. Maha Kesher, what's the connection between one place and the other? Actually, I think that we will discover that there is quite an interesting connection between the two. And so, what I'd actually like to do is start off with the first Makor, because it's interesting, it's the first time that you see Yerushalayim mentioned in Tanakh. Okay. We'll also see if at the end, since we'll be talking a little about Lot and Abraham, if we can somehow tie this into Megillat Rut, not only to Yom Yerushalayim but also to Shavuot. We'll see if we can find a connection there too, but we'll see how our time goes. Okay, let's remind ourselves of the story and the way it develops. We have Abraham has gone to Eretz Israel, and Abraham is wandering around. One of the interesting things about Abraham is he never settles down. He comes to Eretz Israel, he starts off in Shechem, then he goes to the area of Bet El, then he starts going down to the Negev. There's a famine, he has to leave the land, he leaves to Mitzrayim, he comes back to Bet El, and he's constantly shifting around and moving around, etc., etc. And while he's actually living in Hebron, we all know the story. His Lot has already left him. Lot has gone down to Sodom, and there's a battle between four kings who come from Babel and five kings who live in Emek HaYarden, and Lot is taken captive. And of course, Avram goes to fight. Vayakets Chanichav. Avram goes out to fight with a small force. You know, how many men? 318 men. We say Begamatria Eliezer, but I know the Midrash says it was Eliezer, but probably he had 318 men, went out to fight. One of the first cases of guerrilla warfare, right? We know the story later on in Tanakh about Gidon, right? With 300 men, when he manages to defeat an army of over 115,000 people. You know, it's the typical tactics that the Haganah used to use. To take advantage of a small force over a large force, and that's probably why it says Vayiradof Azadan. He chased them. He obviously couldn't decimate their forces, but he chases them, and he has managed to get rid of a huge enemy army from the area of Sodom. And in a sense of relief, the forces of Sodom and Amorah and Admah and Sfarim five cities, and they're going to have their people back. And this is where we're going to pick up the story. Avram has been victorious with him with his small band of men, and we'll read together here from Bereshit Perek Yud Dalet. Vayashav et kol ha'rechush, he brings everything back. Vegam et Lot achiv urechusho ishiv, vegam et anashim et ha'am. And now we're going to have the victory rally, okay? Vayetzei melech Sodom liklato acharei shuvo me'akotet kedor la'omer et ha'mlachim asher ito el emek shavei hu emek ha'melech. Okay, it's not clear where this place is exactly, but Melech Sodom comes out to meet Abraham, and after he's been victorious, and we expect them to engage in some conversation, and then suddenly, out of nothing, Pasuk Yudchet, Umalki Tzedek, Melech Shalem. Who is he? Melech Shalem, Malki Tzedek. If we remember the names of the cities there, okay, we have Sodom, Amora, Admat, Svoyim, and I think Bela, Melech Bela, who's Tsar, this is the town of Tsar. Okay, but none of them are called Shalem. Where is Shalem? So Chazal tell us that Shalem is Yerushalayim. Shalem is Ir Shalem. And it's interesting how the name, if you look, I put the Ramban below. Omalti Tzedek Melech Shalem, he Yerushalayim. Kinyan Shalem Mar, Vehi B'Shalem Sukkot. In other words, you have certain names of kings. In Mitzrayim it's always Pharaoh. With the Plishtim it's always Avimelech. Okay, different kings have they hold the same name. He says, here you have Malki Tzedek, and later on you have Adoni Tzedek. In other words, let me try and explain. Avram just come back victorious from the war. He's defeated an oppressive enemy. Melech Sodom comes out, comes to meet him. We don't hear anything of their conversation. And Pitom, suddenly, out comes Malki Tzedek, and let's see what happens, what the conversation is. Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, Otzilech HaMilayim, he brings out bread and wine, Baruch Hohen Le'el Elyon, and he is a priest to the High God. Those of you who want to, you can follow in the English. And he turns around to Avram and says, Baruch Avram Le'el Elyon, Konei Shamayim Ba'aretz. Blessed is Avram to the High God. We should translate that as who created the heaven and the earth. It would appear that Malki Tzedek is a fellow monotheist, El Elyon. We even adopt those words in our Tfilah. Okay? In our Shema Yisrael, we talk about El Elyon.
El Elyon doesn't sound monotheistic, it sounds henotheistic. It sounds like there's a bunch of small ones in the Elyon.
Okay, you could say El Elyon. Maybe what we also say, Nichamocha Be'elim Hashem, you know, I'm not sure it means necessarily the supreme God, the supreme power. I should add, El doesn't always mean God, right? El means power. So maybe the ultimate power, maybe that's what it means. Baruch El Elyon, blessed is the High God, Hashem Yigen Sarecha Biyadecha, who protected your enemies or who delivered your enemies into your hands. Vayitzen no ma'aser mikol. Not entirely clear who gives whom ma'aseh. Does he give Abraham ma'aseh, or does Abraham give him ma'aseh? Whichever way, we have this statement of faith from Malki Tzedek. He greets Abraham, Baruch Abraham El Elyon, etc., etc. And suddenly now we hear Melech Sodom talking. I know you've been victorious, but let's make a deal. You give me all the people, and you take the Ruchush. Okay, you can take the spoils of war. In other words, you've got people that you've taken from war, and you've got the actual property, you've got the spoils of war. Why don't we split it half-half? You give me the people back, and you can take all the riches. I raise up my hand to Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, in the name of God, El Elyon Konei Shemayim Va'aretz, from a, now here's an interesting one. What does a chut mean? A thread. What's a soch na'al?
Shoelace.
So, you know, it's a little strange, right? From a thread to a shoelace. I understand if you'd say from a
shoelace
to, I don't know, whatever, a mink coat, I don't know what. Okay? You say from, you know, what does it mean? He says that from a thread to a shoelace, the imekach mikol hashelach, I don't want to take anything from you, but lot tomorrow ani ashat yetabam. Don't say ani ravamich. I once heard from Rav Yoel Bin Nun, who wanted to claim that in michut v'atzrochnal is like this. He says, what's the shochnal? We know where it is, but where's the chutz? He said, you have the kafia. You've got a string around it. Okay, the string which surrounds the kafia. It means from head to toe. Okay, in michut v'atzrochnal. Okay, don't buy it. Okay. And he says, I don't want you to say that I made you rich, that you made me rich. In other words, Avram says, I don't want to take anything from you. They came with me, you have to pay expenses. Okay, expenses you have to pay for. Right, we have an expense account, you can pay for them. I'm not going to give up other people's cheshbonot. But, in the meantime, I don't want to take anything. The one thing he doesn't want is to say, Ani ha'ashati etafa. I'd like to try and put this in a certain context. In order to we'll see in a second, but it's important for us to realize that we've already been told in the Torah that Sodom is an evil place. At this point, it's Perek Yudalev. We haven't heard of the story of the people in Sodom, the two messengers coming along and then rejecting the hospitality and surrounding the house and all that stuff. But we're already being told, very unusually, Sodom has already been labeled, it has been earmarked. If you look further down the page, okay, Reishit Perek Yud Gimel, it says here, or maybe I'll just read the whole quote, V'yisalot etena v'yarek hol kikari ha'adein kichulam ha'shkeh. What was Sodom like? Sodom lifted up his eyes and he saw the Jordan Valley, that it was beautifully watered, it was irrigated. This was before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's called Kegan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. We're going to talk about what this means. Baruch Hatzorah. Vayivchar lo lot et kol kikai ha'ardein. Vayisal lo b'kenem v'yiparadu ishmael ha'kachiv. They separated. Avram yashav b'eretz Kanan, v'lo yashav b'arei ha'kikar. Avram lived in Eretz Kanan, Lot lived in Yarei ha'kikar. V'yahal ha'tzodom v'anshei Sodom ra'im l'chata'im l'ashem ha'od. Sodom is an evil place. And Sheikh Sodom Ra'im, but don't get told what they do, but it's evil. I'd like to try and portray the image of what's going on in the following way. Let me try and explain. Abraham, as I said in my introduction, has been wandering since he got to Eretz Canaan. He's made a huge journey from Mesopotamia. He's a newcomer in the land. Even later on we hear him say, Ger b'toshav anachim lachem. And one can well imagine that what Avram would like more than anything else, he was told, Lechacha me'aretzcha moladcha, and go to Ha'aretz Asherecha, go to the land which I will show you. So when's he going to settle down? He's always wandering from place to place. When there's a family, he has to leave the country. He started up, as I said, Shechem, Bet-El, Mitzrayim, Bet-El, Hebron, Nu. So, how long can you keep on wandering? Now is the first time when he has a chance to make headway and to really become a serious player in the country. Suddenly some of the important forces of the land are actually willing to offer him a deal. Tanya Nefesh Baruchush Chachla. We'll take the people, but you can become a wealthy man, you can become rich. And I think the implication here is, you know, Avram has now become a warlord. He has now become a serious power player in the region. Now that's the time when Avram can capitalize, can make alliances, can make deals. He can start already consolidating his position. Maybe let's recall the previous scene with Lot. Why did Lot and Avram separate ways? It said they had an argument about what?
Grazing
territory. In other words, there wasn't enough land. Maybe if Avram can cut a deal with Sodom, he can have enough land, he can even possibly reunite with it a lot. Who knows? Everything to his advantage. Abraham has got a huge opportunity. And that's when we hear, Vayetzei Melech Sodom likrato. Melech Sodom comes out to meet him. We haven't heard what he's saying, but we all can understand the atmosphere. And suddenly, in the middle of that, suddenly, somebody else comes. Surprisingly. Somebody called Melchizedek. Melchizedek, my God or my king is one of tzedek, of tzedakah, of righteousness. Okay? And in the middle of this, he comes along and he says, starts talking not politics, not property rights, not power. He starts talking religion. What does he say? Harimoti adiyal Hashem el elyon kodei shamayim ba'aretz. Sorry, he says, I quoted the wrong line. Baruch avam le elyon kodei shamayim ba'aretz. Baruch avam le elyon Hashem again sarach be'adecha v'yitzei lom asem kol. What is this? Baruch el elyon Hashem again sarach be'adecha. Avram, is this your victory? Avram, did you manage to win this war? Well, you were so successful? No. Baruch el elyon Hashem migein sarecha biyadecha. God gave you a victory. How are you going to dedicate this victory to God? Are you going to use this in order to further you? Or are you going to use it in order to further HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, Avram's now got a choice. It's very interesting. He's come Dafka in this place which is called Emek HaMelech, the Valley of the King. There are two kings. Suddenly there is Melech Sedom and there is Malki Tzedek. Okay? So again, an interesting name. Malki Tzedek is not talking about himself, right? Malki Tzedek, the Chol is saying, my God, Hashem, is one of Tzedek. Who does Avram side with? It's very clear. Okay? What does he say? Whose language is El Elyon Kone Shamayim Va'aretz? That's Malki Tzedek's, right? Except he adds his own name to Hashem before that. Yudkei Vavke. Harimoti Azi, how do I call him? Yudkei Vavke. What you call him? El Elyon Kone Shamayim Va'aretz. In other words, he merges and totally rejects Melech Sodom's offer. He's just adopted opinion or adopted a political stance which actually goes against, flies in the face of his own self-advantage. But he's made a moral choice. He's made a moral decision, Dafka, to go with Malki Tzedek, to go with the El Elyon, and not to follow the advantage he could have received from Sodom. Understand what I mean? Yeah.
Just probably, it's probably a tangent. I'm just, are we bothered that he says he uses UKVK when Hashem tells Moshe that he never used that name with Abraham back in Apple?
He says, Shmi Hashem lo nodati lachem. No, we know that he uses UKVK in all sorts of situations.
Yeah,
he doesn't know the extensions of the
Yotkevavke. No, look, all the mafarshim there, say, what does it mean? What are you talking about? Of course, Yotkevavke is there, and they have to explain what that means. Mm-hmm. Right? You can look at Rashi, and Rashi says, Ne'eman l'sharim schar, that I didn't fulfill, I made promises, I never fulfilled, but now it's the moment of fulfillment, or however you want to understand it. But, no, Yotkevavke definitely appears with the Avot, so there's no question about it. You can check it out for Sefer Breshit, appears regularly. Yeah, there's no question about it. Okay, so this is the first. In other words, we have a choice. We have a choice between. And here, what I'm saying is, this is the first mention of Yerushalayim. If Shalem is Yerushalayim, let's assume. If we're going to assume in the Mefarshim that Shalem is Yerushalayim, then this is really that's the most. Any more? If this is the first mention of Yerushalayim, it's very interesting. Yerushalayim comes where there is a choice between one place and the other. Okay? Later on, I guess we'll hear about Har Moriah or Eretz HaMoriah with the Akedah. That comes in a different context. But here, we definitely have this situation. Now, I want to really begin by saying that it is puzzling. It is puzzling that Sodom is such an evil place. Why is Sodom such an evil place? Again, let's go back to these psukim which you see at the bottom of the opening page. Lot, Vayisa Lot et Einav Vayaret Kol Kikar Adin. He was at Bethel. He looks out to the Jordan Valley. You'll know the Jordan Valley, beautiful valley. Ki Chula Mashkeh. It is irrigated. I should add that it would appear that when this argument happened between Avram and Sodom, it was in a famine year. If you recall the story, Vahira Ab Ba'aretz, there was a famine. Avram went down to Egypt. Sarah was taken. I don't know how long she was taken for, but it doesn't seem like she was taken for so long, even if it was a month, even if it was 2 months. Okay, what happens at the end? They eject him, right? They expel him. That's when they come back to Eretz Yisrael. They come back to Beth El, right? And they go up to Beth El, and that's when the argument happens. Why are they arguing over pasture land? Because there's still a Ra'av. And when there's a Ra'av, everybody's fighting over whatever bit of land there can be. So even if he became rich, so that's even worse, because now he's got more flocks, okay? But he hasn't got anywhere to graze them. Since they've all got, they've got more mouths to feed, but there isn't any, you know, they need to find an area where there's, everybody's arguing if there's not a lot of rain that year. So the areas of which are pasture lands are few and far between. And therefore that's the immediate background which led to the split. And when Lot looks up and he sees a place which is Kulam Ashker, which actually does have water, he wants to go there. So what's wrong with that? Now it says, "This Neishacher Hashem et Sodom et Amora, Kegan Hashem ke'eretz Yitzrayim ba'ochatzah." What does it mean, "Kegan Hashem ke'eretz Yitzrayim"? So, notice by the way, Yud Aleph Vayivchar Lo Lot et Kol Kikar Yarden, he chooses the Kikar Yarden. They separate. Avram yashav be'eretz Kanaan. Eretz Kanaan apparently is the hills. So Lot yashav b'areach kikar ve'yahat Sodom. Lot leaves Eretz Yisrael. That's what it would appear. Yeah, you agree with me? Well, he definitely leaves Eretz Yisrael. Again, why does he leave Eretz Yisrael? L'chora, even though Eretz Yisrael is the land they were told to go to, in order to make money. Okay, fair enough. According to Shulchan Aruch, it's allowed. Okay. Now what I'm saying is there is something strange about this. Okay, what does it mean that the description of Kikar Aden in the area of Sodom, what does it say? That Sodom Amorah is Kegan Hashem ke'eretz Yitzrayim. How is it like Gan Hashem and Eretz Yitzrayim? Any ideas? Huh?
It's
water, right? It's the water, it's the river. We know that the main thing about Egypt is the Nile. There is a constant state of irrigation. Okay, unless once in a while the Nile has a bit of a problem, but the Nile was a god because it always gave water, it was reliable. Everybody knew they could get their prosperity from it. Of course, the Gan Hashem is Gan Eden. If you look down below, what do we have here? Gan Eden is also a place with agriculture. Interestingly, they don't have fields in Gan Eden, only trees. Okay, but if you look at Pasuk Yud here, "Benahar Yotzei Me'Eden Ashkoda Degan Vishtan Yitzrayim Bayu La'arba Rashim," these strange four rivers in Gan Eden. The Gan Eden is a place where there are four rivers, right? We have Pishon and Gihon and Chidekel and Prat. Again, it's difficult to understand exactly where this place might be because the names don't seem to really work with places that we know. You know, the Gihon is in Yerushalayim, the Chidekel and Prat are somewhere else, right? If we can ignore that, Gan Eden is described as a place with constant... How? Sodom, Mitzrayim, Gan Eden have constant water. So the Chorah, they should be great. So why did people come, Ra'im v'chata'im, dafka there? What? What do you mean? Okay. Sometimes when you dafka have everything easy, everything's available, okay? I don't know if you become bad automatically, but one of the things that is sometimes suggested is that Egypt was a very protective environment. They didn't like strangers. Why Egypt? Why didn't they like strangers? Because they always worried that people coming in to take their wealth away, right? They were concerned because they had such immediate wealth that everybody would want to immigrate there and take away that which they had, and therefore they were very, very cautious and very, very rejectionist about strangers. It would, by the way, appear that was exactly one of the problems in Sodom. People come along, okay, and they come as guests, and the one thing they don't like is that your guests should come along, you should give to them. In fact, they have the opposite idea, right? What can our guests give to us? We have a lot, so we want to give to them. But what can our guests give to us? Okay? By the way, Tzedek Tzedakah is exactly the opposite of that. It's that I have, but I will share with you. I will ensure that even though you're at a disadvantage, I'll make sure I'll redress the balance. Right? That's what tzedek is about. Social justice. Okay? The notion of tzedek, right, is a very interesting word, because in tzedekah you've got tzedakah, which seems to be like charity. Right? On the other hand, tzedek is like justice. Right? Tzedek is this very interesting fusion between being kind and also being just. Right? It's a general type of justice. It's I guess what we might call social justice, right? So it's justice. On the other hand, it's got a social conscience. It's got those two fusions. In other words, here's the irony. Dafka Sodom is a place which has everything, like Mitzrayim, like Gan Eden, right? Dafka and Gan Eden. In there, it wasn't enough, right? And I'm sure it's not that Mitzrayim and Sodom is not enough, but they don't want to share. They don't want to share. And Tzedek is about after sharing, understand. So what I said is, in the world of Abraham, we have these two polar opposites. Again, as I said before, one is high, one is low. They have different midot, right? One represented by Tzedek, one is represented with a lack of sharing. Dafka they have plenty, and they don't want to share. Right, and Dafka that's exactly Lot wanted to move there. Dafka because of the material wealth, he had enough of wandering around with Abraham. Maybe I should add, when did he split with Abraham? Dafka after he just visited Egypt. It's like I don't know whether Egypt reminded him of the other place with rivers where they came from. They came from Haran, which is also near a river, Aram Naharaim, Aram between the two rivers, right? Naharaim. So he Dafka goes to Egypt. He says, "Ach, we've been wandering for miles. How here, lost." It's a civilized place, for goodness sake, right? Except Avram schleps him back to Eretz Israel, they get expelled. See, now he sees a place which is reminiscent of there. No, I want to go to a place where the living is a bit easier than up in the hill country of Eretz Israel. But the problem was, I'm chasing Dom right in B'chatei
Mashiach. It's interesting, Avram is willing to get rich from Mitzrayim, they're not willing to get rich from Sodom.
Right. Right. Even though, maybe it's a, I don't know what you want to say about it. He gets rich, Dafka, by being expelled, if you want. So, you know, he's expelled and gets rich. And it seems like he doesn't really intend to stay there. I know that in Rav Meidan's book on Rut, he suggests that he went down to Egypt. He didn't know it was wrong to leave in the Ra'av. I know the Ramban gets upset with him for leaving, but he didn't know. When he, whatever happened to his wife, he realized, oh, okay, that was very bad. He didn't do that again. In other words, you know, we...
The thing with his wife happens again in a couple of
broken. I guess that's because there are also...
No, but I mean, not leaving Eretz Israel.
Okay, if Abraham's really good at getting his wife stuck with foreign kings, then it can't be a point just about Israel.
Okay.
Yeah, but why can't you say that Melech Zion is doing it on the religious flag for religious reasons? Because all of Abraham's purpose is to bring people to have access to
Hashem. I know what you're saying. Look, the only thing I can say is you hear Abraham's rejection, and we know that in the previous parasha, Bam Sheik Sodom Rayim B'chataim L'Hashem Ma'on, and we also know what happened next. So it would appear that, yes, indeed, that you're saying, give him a chance, zero to be tshuva, you know, sort of thing. That there's a opportunity there.
Well, I guess if Melech Zion didn't want these people to know Bore Olam,
it would appear that Abram realizes that if he's going to get involved with this guy, he's going to get messed up. You know, whichever way, I'm saying, right, this sudden appearance of Melchizedek, who doesn't seem to have anything to do with the story, is surprising. And I think that what the Tanakh is trying to do is to give us this choice between these two kings. Okay, I'd like to move on. I'd like to suggest that actually this tension between Yerushalayim and Sodom continues in many other places in Tanakh. I'd like to show how it manifests itself in each place, and then we'll try and, you know, see if we can draw a few conclusions. Take a look at Sefer Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu, Perek Aleph, a very famous Perek. We read it just before Tisha B'Av, Shabbat Chazon. What? So we have here very interesting depiction. Chazon Yishayahu ben Amos, asher chazal Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, mimei Uzziyahu, Yotam, Mechad, Yechizkiyahu, melech Yehuda, a vision of Yishayahu. And he describes how Am Yisrael rebel against God. And we're not going to go through all of the psukim, because it really is too much. But if you want, I'd like to look down at Pasuk Zayin, verse 7. Yishayahu predicts, Arzechem Shvama, your land will become desolate. Arechem Sufot Esh, your cities will become burnt. Admatchem Lemegdechem Zarim Ochimota, your land, pictures of light, the Tochacha, which we'll read this Shabbat. Your land, other people will eat the fruits of it. Ushvamak ma'apechat zarim, v'notra batzion kesukah bakerem. Batzion will be like just the sukkah, like the watchman's shelter in the vineyard. Kemuna b'mikshak yir nesura. Lulei Hashem sa'ot otiru lanu sarid, kim'ar kistom ayinu namor adamim. If God didn't give us any sort of remnant, then we would almost be like totally destroyed, like Sodom and Amorah. Something here, Sodom and Amorah mentioned here. In other words, what he's saying is the destruction is going to be almost total. There's going to be, and we're almost at destroyed Sodom and Amorah. But in the next breath, he addresses the people of Yerushalayim and says, "It's not almost. You might have been destroyed almost like Sodom and Amorah, but you're acting like Sodom and Amorah." And that's in the next section here. If you look in the Hebrew, I'll read in the Hebrew, but you can read the English here, verse 10, Pasuk Yud. Shiru Dvar Hashem Ktinei Sodom Azilu Torat Eloheinu Am Amora. He calls the people and says, "Lift the word of God, you officers of Sodom." Now, he's talking to Yerushalayim, Yishayahu. Azilu Torat Eloheinu Am Amora. You people of Amorai. In other words, I'll say it very simply, Yerushalayim can become Sodom Yomor. You might say Yerushalayim is up here and Sodom is down here. Yerushalayim is the moral place, the base of Tzedek. Amorah as Rasha'im v'chata'im. But actually, Yerushalayim has the capability of becoming, according to Yishayahu, Sodom and Amorah. When, what do we do to become Sodom and Amorah? How can that happen? Well, let's keep on reading. He says, Lama li rov zivchaychein yomar Hashem sabati olot einim b'cheyev reyim v'dam harim k'vasim atudim lo kapatzti. Why do you bring me so many sacrifices? I had enough of all your rams, all your animals, and everything you're bringing. Kitavo le'ra'ot panai. Have a nice little rhyme here. When you come to meet, to see my face, nidekeshot miyedchem ramos chatzeirai. Whoever asked you to, you're trampling my courtyards. Sometimes we have people who come along, and everything they do smacks of immorality. But they come along and they think that if they do, you know, I don't know, if they kiss the mezuzah, so everything will be okay. Right? Well, Yishayahu says, "I'm sorry, it's not okay. Even if you come and bring the nicest sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash, it won't help you at all." Why? They're acting like Sodom and Amorah. And let's look a little down and see what he says. He says, look at Pasuk Tetzvav here, verse 15. He says, over Parishchem Kapechem, when you stretch out your hands to me, they used to daven like this, right? I'm not sure whether they daven like this or like this. But it says, in certain places you actually see, you see it with Shlomo, you see it with Ezra, that they daven in a very interesting posture. They daven on their knees with their hands extended. I always wonder where that all went to. I think the Christians started kneeling and we stopped kneeling, and the Muslims daven like this with their hands out and we stopped doing that too, right? I'm not sure whether it's the influence of that. The Gemara already talks about different postures and way of davening, but it's interesting. They say, "Uvafarishchem kapechem," that means you're praying. When you pray to me, he says, "Alim eni mikem," I'm going to ignore you. Kitabut gam kitabut flad. You can carry on praying. Eni shomea, I don't listen. Why? Those hands you're stretching out to me are filled with blood. What have you been doing? He says, stop being evil. And now I'll explain what you need to do. The thing that you're lacking is mishpat, is justice. Right? The widow and the orphan, the people at the fringes of society, the people who don't have somebody to look after them, people who don't have connections. You're taking advantage of them. the orphans are working in the sweatshops and the widows are being ignored. He explains even more in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Echa haita zona kiriya ne'emana. Okay? How can the kiriya ne'emana, the loyal city, have become like a zona? A zona is a prostitute. Excuse us. But a prostitute, essentially, she sells her honor, she sells herself for money to the highest bidder. And he says that's exactly what Yerushalayim become like. Yerushalayim has become a place which is willing to sell itself for money. And he explains exactly how. Mileiti mishpat, I should be filled with justice, Yerushalayim. Sedek halimbal, here I mentioned the word sedek, okay, along with mishpat comes sedek, malki sedek, sedek. People are getting killed in Yerushalayim. Kaspei chayal esigim, your silver has become rubbed down. In other words, you get a coin, right? It should weigh a certain amount. What's happened? They've rubbed off a bit of silver from it so they can, so they can make not the true weights. Sabech mahu gamayim. Again, you want to sell something, you water it down with water. Sararim v'chabrei ganavim. Your ministers are basically thieves. Why? Kulo avil shachad v'rodei shamunim. Everybody wants to do something, you need a favor. If you pay me, I'll do it. Right? Of course, by the way, this undermines the whole system of justice. Because what's the whole idea of justice? If things work according to the rules, then people who deserve it can get whatever they need. Everything works on payoffs, on bribery, then whoever's got the money gets somewhere, but the yatov, the almana, and the poor people can't get anywhere because they're not willing to bribe anyone. So they haven't got the money, they haven't got the means. So now suddenly everything is stacked against, it's unfair. Once it's unfair, that you can't run a country that way, that is the opposite of tzedek. And therefore he says, a very difficult word, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, V'chein Adon Hashem Sokot Avi Yisrael Hoyen Achem Yisrael V'nakom Ha'oivai V'ashiv Yedi Alech V'etzof Kabor Sigayich. That means V'etzof Kabor Sigayich means I'm going to, like when you purify metal, you have to heat it up hot, and out come the impurities, and the pure metal flows. The impurities flow down or they flow up, but it separates out what is bad from what is good. I'm going to purge you with fire. Vasira kol dilayach, I'll remove your impurities. And here we have the phrase that we say in tefillah. Vashiva shoftayach marishona. And then you'll get your judges back like they're meant to be. Vyatzayach kavatchila achareichem. And then yikareilach ir hatzedek. Then once again, I come back to Malki Tzedek. Yushalayim will be ir hatzedek. It'll be a city of justice. Kiriyah ne'emana. Instead of being now it will be again reliable. Ne'emana will be a place which you can rely on. Sion, and famous pasuk, Sion b'mishpat tipadeh. Sion will be redeemed through justice. V'shaver abit tzedakah. Here again, we have the third time tzedakah, the notion of tzedek, tzedakah, mishpat. In other words, what's happening? I mean, don't think we need to even have the title of the way he says it here. To understand that Yerushalayim, by the depictions of Yishayahu, has turned into Sodom and Amorah. Physically, it's still in Yerushalayim, but morally, it is not a city. It is not worthy of its name. It is not worthy of its Malki Tzedek. Its God is not Tzedek. Its God is money. Right? Its God is the opposite. It's how to make money for myself and ignore everybody else. And that is the opposite of what we want in the Jewish society that we're trying to set up in Yerushalayim. In other words, this is an example where Shiaz says, you have become Sodom Gomorrah. Can it work the other way? So I'd like to claim that it can work the other way too. Let's take a look at two very interesting Nebuot. One is Zechariah, one is Yechezkel. And it's interesting because they both give a similar image. These are sort of apocalyptic images. Zechariah, I don't know if you've ever studied Zechariah, but certainly the end of Zechariah, we have images which are very, very frightening of wars taking place in Yerushalayim. Some people like to suggest even the things that resemble nuclear wars taking place in Yerushalayim. I'm not going to get into all those things. But in one of those particular wars, something very strange is going to happen. It says here, and we'll start with Zechariah. We'll see some of the depictions here. Bamdurak la bayomahu. Who's he talking about? God. On that day, it says there'll be a whole war in Yerushalayim, and armies will come along, and half the people in Yerushalayim will get taken captive. Bamdurak la bayomahu al harazaitim. We'll know harazaitim is opposite Harabai. God's feet will stand on that day in harazaitim al shafanei Yerushalayim yikedem. So these Kahara Zitim, the Chetiom Mizracha, the Yama Gegdola. Kahara Zitim was split into two. I heard a lovely story that in 1911, I think it was in 1911, when there was an earthquake in Yerushalayim, one of the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim, was seen running through the streets. And people said to him, well, what are you doing? You're going to take protection, stay indoors. This is earthquake, you've got to stay off the streets. And he said, no, I'm running to Kahara Zitim. I want to see what's going on there. See? He was expecting this Nebuah to be happening, earthquake in Yerushalayim, what's going on? God will stand on Harizitim, and it will split into two. Half of it will move east, and half of it will move west, north, Chatil Negba. V'nastem gei harai, ki adia gei harim el asal, v'nastem kasher, nastem mifi ha-ra'ash, mifi ha-zuyah, u'melech Yehudah, u'ba Hashem alakei kol kadosha banos. Okay. I'm not going into all the descriptions. I really want to move to Pasuk Chet, but it says on that day there'll be light, and this will be a day. Lo yom lo laila v'haya leit erev ye'or Pasuk Chet v'haya v'yomahu yitzu mayim chayim Yerushalayim. Living water will come from Yerushalayim. Chet yama la yama kadmoni. Half will go into the yama kadmoni. Okay, just to explain, the chet yama la yama acharon in the Tanakh. All the geography is always forward, means kedem always means east. Okay? By the way, even in English it's true. In English they talk about the orient. Right? The orient means the way you orient yourself. Okay? And what they mean is the east, not the west. In other words, in ancient, when we look at a map, we always think we're looking north is up or whatever it is. In those times, when you looked at a map, the way you thought was mikedem, kedem is east. Hayama Charon is what's behind me.
Tayman is
right? Tayman from Yemen. South. They would say south. Right? So. You're right. Right and left. Right and left are north and south. Okay? Okay? Forward is east. Backwards is west. Right and left are north and south. Okay? That's also in the story of Lot. It says. It means if you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. Means north and south. So anyway, where's it going to sit? So half the water is going to go to the Yam HaKadmoni, which is where, according to this description, which sea? No, the Yam HaCharon is the Mediterranean. Right? That's what's behind me. Okay? And the sea in front of me is Yam HaMelach. Right? Is the Yam HaMelach. So it says like this. Water will come out because it's going to split into two. Water will come out. Half of it will go to the Yam HaMelach. Half of it will go to the Mediterranean Sea. B'chai tzu b'korif yeh. B'ya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. B'yom hu yeh Hashem echad l'shmo echad. The pasuk we know. Now it tells you what will happen. Yisof kol ha'aretz ka'arava migebel rimon neged Yerushalayim v'ra'ama v'yashva tehteh l'mishar bin yamin al-makom shah reishon. 1 minute. If you look in Yechezkel, there's a similar image, okay? Also, of water coming out from Yerushalayim. Now again, maybe I should stress that water coming out from Yerushalayim is indeed a vision of Mashiach, a vision of the Acharit HaYamim. It actually matches the sense that in many ways, the sense is that Yerushalayim will turn into a sort of a Gan Eden, right, with water coming out of it. But if you see here in Yechezkel, similar image. Now the water is not going to come from Har HaZeitim; it's going to come from Har HaBayit. Yishibenu apetach habayit v'nei mayim yotzim mitachat miftan bayit kadima ki pnei habayit kadim v'amay yodim mitachat miketev habayit emanit v'negev l'mizbeach. Water comes out from the Mizbeach and goes out in an easterly direction. And he says, he takes me outside, and when he first takes him outside, Pasuk Bet, the waters are renamed Maim Mafakim al Katefa Yaminit. Pasuk Gimel. But Seita Ish Chadim Vakav Yado, he has a measuring stick, he has a yardstick in his hand. He starts off the Yamad Elef, he measures a thousand, but Evarini Bamayim, Me'afasayim. I like that phrase. Okay? What's FS? Zero. Afasayim, I know mathematically, 2 times double zero. But it means shallow water, right? Shallow water, by the way, FS, I don't know what FS exactly means, okay? FS means a little bit. The person actually said it was zero. You know who came up with that? Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra invented mathematically that FS means zero. He was the person who first came up with it. The word FS should apply to zero. But it means afasayim, very little. Fayamal elef yabarim v'mayim, and now it's mayim pirkayim. Now it goes up to a knees. Measure another thousand, and now it's maybe nayim. Now it's up to my waist. Fayamal elef nachal asher lo uchal la'avor. Then he makes another thousand, and you can't even cross it. Kiga'u amayim meisachu. It's now, you'd have to swim it. Nachal asher lo ya'aver. Fayamal elai ha'ra'ita ben adam. God says to him, now you see, look at all this water coming out of Har HaBayit. And I'll sit on the edge of the Nachal, B'shuveni b'nei al-Satan Nachal, Eitz Rav Ma'od Mizel Mizeh. And suddenly trees are planted. What's this water? They're going to the eastern extremity, the Yardu al-Arava. They're going down to that Arava, which we spoke about already in Zechariah. What's it going to do? It's going to heal the waters of Yam HaMelech. Now, if you recall, we said until Mapechat Sodom Amorah, the valley was Kula Mashkeh. Lifnei Shachet Shemet Sodom Amorah. Now, after that, it's a desolate place. Now, it's going to heal the waters of the Dead Sea. And to understand, there'll be lots of fish in the sea. Anything which comes flowing down the Nachal will be healed. There will be fishermen who go from Ein Gedi. ועד אין עגליים משטוח לחרמים יהיו למימת יהיה דגתם כדגת הים הגדול רבה מאוד. The catch from the fish which you will catch from Ein Gedi, the port of Ein Gedi, which will then be a wonderful port along the Dead Sea, which won't be dead, it will be living, will catch as much fish as in the Yam HaGadol. Okay, and that's what he wants to say. Yeah,
I was just thinking this imagery, think of Messiah and all this imagery is with Mara. When we come to Mara and there's and takes the Mahai Marim, and then you have the it throws it in and it becomes sweet, and then it says Kol Mahalash is having the same as Simalecha Kianashim Rosa Echa. It's kind of this, you know, same imagery with the waters becoming
sweet,
yield in the essence, and
right. I wonder, I have to think about it.
There's sign there too, and there's something, you know, with Egypt.
Okay. Just a good point. I haven't thought about it, but worthwhile comment. Worthwhile comment. What I'm saying is, I tried to set up at the beginning of the shiur that we have a choice between Sodom on the one hand and Yerushalayim. And what I'd like to contend is that sometimes Yerushalayim becomes Sodom. That the ideal tafkid of Yerushalayim is that Yerushalayim should do the opposite. It should convert Sodom. Right? Yerushalayim should overpass Sodom. In other words, they live in some sort of constant tension between the two, and in the worst situation, in the worst of worlds, Sodom overpowers Yerushalayim. But in the best of situations, the situation of Geulah, Yerushalayim has the power, so powerful that it can overpower and heal, turn the clock back on Sodom. Unless you think that I'm sort of, making this up a little bit. I think there are very good proofs in the Pesukim in Yeshayahu. It says very clearly what's going on here. Shimuel Ayreif Beit Tzedek. You who are looking for Tzedek, Mevatshe Hashem, Habitu Al Tzur Chutzatem, Vel Makevet Bor Nukaratem. Where was the stone you were taken from? Where is the boar you come from? Abitel Abraham Abichem. Abraham! Bel Sarat Cholalchem. Abraham and Sarah. Interesting, it's not just Abraham. They're the ones where you're going to learn. That is the boar. If you're looking for tzedek, go look at them. But Yasen Midbarak Eden, you'll make the Midbar like Eden. What does that mean? Where's the Midbar in Eretz Yisrael? That is the Arabah, the Midbar. You'll make it again like Eden. What's the significance of Eden? We just learned it, right? Kigan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim. Barbata, in both Yecheskel and Zechariah, they talk about the Arabah being converted, right? Being replenished, being re-irrigated. Arvatal will come Kigan Hashem. Sason v'simcha yimatim b'tzotah b'kol zimra. In other words, how does the Arava come to Gan Hashem? How does the Midvara come to Eden? When you realize the notion of Tzedek. When you realize the notion of... So, you know, as I say, the truth was, before, I'd even thought of these sort of ideas before current events in Israel. But after, when Israel, unfortunately, we are dealing in Yerushalayim with so much problems of shochad, of bribery. And as I said, is it a holy land or is it a holy land, right? It's a worry. And if we talk about Sion b'mishpat kepadeh b'shaveh b'sakai, again, it's so interesting that in the news, right, some people are talking about, I don't know, Obama is even a threat to Yerushalayim. And I've got to say, when this comes up and people are putting pressure to go over Yerushalayim, at the same time as all this bribery going on, I wonder to myself, right, what's more critical? Is it more critical the political sphere or the moral sphere? Right? You know, what's going to be more of a critical factor in ensuring that Yerushalayim remain in Jewish hands? That we keep our moral fiber and get rid of this culture of bribery, or that we start fighting things or struggling on the political sphere to keep Yerushalayim? But I would like to finish off with your permission with just talking for a couple of minutes about a theme in the Gilat Rus, which I think is in some way related. We spoke about Lot and Lot leaving Avraham Avinu. Well, of course, we all know that one of the issues in the Gilat Rus is obviously the question of Rut HaMoav, the Yah, Rut who comes from Sde Moav, and we all know that somehow this is related to David HaMelech. Who knows, maybe when David HaMelech was coming up to the Melucha, people were in some way slurring him, Yah, you're descended from Moav, the Yah, you're not descended from whoever it is. I don't know what the background was. But there's certainly something very interesting that if you take the beginning, I mean, again, let's follow the story of Lot. Lot's with Abraham. Everything seems to be going fine. He's with Abraham. He's living up in the hills of Eretz Israel. And at some point he decides that he wants to there are problems in Eretz Israel, and he wants to leave in order to survive the famine, etc., etc. And he goes to Sodom. And what happens in Sodom? Okay, of course, what happens in Sodom is that you've got this situation whereby he ends up effectively losing everything. He ends up losing everything. His wife dies. His children remain in Sodom, apart from his two daughters, right? And then he has this whole strange scene with his two daughters, right? This is essentially what we have. Many people want to claim that there are fascinating parallels between Lot and the story of Elimelech Machlon Nechunio, because in the case of Elimelech, he also had a situation. Because I'll say, why did he leave? He left because there was famine in Eretz Canaan. And what did he do? He could have stayed in Eretz Canaan and rattled it out, just like Abraham did. But what did he do? It was difficult times. So what did he do? He left the country. Right? What happened when he left the country? He thought he was going there to keep his wealth. He ended up losing all his wealth. Okay? He ended up, in the case of Lot, his wife dies. Nomi's husband died, okay, and she ends up all alone with Dafka, just like Lot ends up with his two daughters. She ends up with her two daughters. Yeah.
Descended from one of them.
Right, I'm saying descended from.
It's the same
it's a very, very interesting time. Now, of course, by the way, what's fascinating about the story of Ruth is that the critical thing in the whole story is the question of chesed, is the question of loyalty. Ruth shows amazing loyalty. Right? When they say, Boaz says to her, you know, Kadosh Hastecha, Shacharon, and Arishon, the idea of chesed, the idea of loyalty, the idea of kindness, the idea of looking out for people, and if you want, you've definitely got Orpah. Where Chazal turned around and said, why is her name Orpah? Because she turns to Orech. She Dafka wasn't interesting. You've got this contrast between Ruth and Orpah. Where Ruth, Dafka, Orpah says, and by the way, Orpah's not wrong. Okay? She's, Naomi tells her, go home, you've got nothing, I've got nothing to offer you. Right? But Ruth Dafka wanted to stay with, and she understood the principle of dedication. The principle that even when it doesn't look like it's necessarily in your best interest, there's somebody who needs some help, I'm going to show that sense of loyalty. And Dafka, maybe, in that sense, Ruth is the person who makes her way back from Eder HaYarden, Dafka back to Eretz Yisrael, to, you know, Eretz Yehuda, Sivot Yerushalayim, and in some way restores that which Lot, you know, took away all those centuries ago, Dafka brings back to Eretz Yisrael. I think it's a very interesting, the fact that Ruth is so filled, the Sefer so filled with Chesed, so filled with Sedek, maybe it's even more than Sedek, it's Chesed, and in some way redresses that balance. But it's a very interesting inverse story, that Dafka, the descendant of Lot, who comes back in order to provide the Melech, which will be in Yerushalayim, put it that way. In other words, Dafka is this going full circle. Lot, who came, Dafka went to Sodom. Does that Dafka find its resolution? Oh, it does. It finds the resolution, Dafka, through Ruth, provides the Zerah of David, who comes back to Yerushalayim. But maybe that's an additional echo of some of the strands of the story that I tried to say. So, you want to add something?
Yeah, there are more parallels. There's the incest of Lot's daughters versus
Yibum. Oh, for sure.
Versus Yibum as a tikkun for that.
Right.
And the word chesed means incest. I'm not sure if it's...
But chesed. So the question, what exactly it means?
I'm not sure if that was always the case, but if it was the case as of then, the relationship between the two words, that would also be a clever allusion.
Yeah.
Just to pull in, you know, the Lech Lecha, obviously, of Abraham and Ruth, that they both have Elashay Kedechi Elech, which Rabbi Shammah actually, I don't know, points out that the clear parallel there between the Ruth is kind of mirroring actually the Abraham side more than the Lot side of, you know, bringing back.
Oh, right, for sure. In other words,
she's picking that Abraham Ruth of going.
Lot Dafka rejected the Lech Lecha, and she's.
There's a Baruch at Hashem, whatever. There's a.
There are plenty of many parallels. I didn't want to go into it. The hour is late, but we should be aware. As I say, I think Dafka, looking for some. Some inspiration, if you want, Duck coming up to Yom Yerushalayim, and thinking about the biblical roots of Yerushalayim, I think it's interesting to see this interesting tension. Maybe unsuspecting, you wouldn't imagine Yerushalayim is in some way tied to Sodom, but I believe they have this very interesting relationship, and we have to hope, and I guess have to work at it, that Yerushalayim should overpower Sodom, not Chas V'Shalom, that Sodom should influence Yerushalayim. So thank you very much.